It certainly is a great privilege and pleasure to be able to speak to you this evening. And I want to thank Brent for that kind introduction. He didn't tell you I just started preaching school in January, so have grace with me tonight, okay? But tonight I have been instructed to bring to you the lesson of Jesus, our Lord, the life. I know the last few weeks that you guys have been here in John 14, verses 1 through 6. But I want to read it one more time this evening, verses 1 through 6. Before we get started, you know, in our world today, we live in the cry of a troubled and dying world. You know, today people, they seek after money, pleasure, technology, power, wealth. You know, but all of those people, when you ask them, they feel empty. And also our world, we're just filled with all these competing philosophies, different religious denominations, and all these other things out there saying they have the path to life. But Jesus, as we can see tonight, in John 14:6, he makes an exclusive statement. He doesn't say, I'm part of some life or a life. Jesus says, I am the life. And I mean, we have a lot of other things to buying for our attention today. But Jesus' statement here has something, you know, that is all these other statements out there that vie for our allegiance. They absolutely don't have any value. And tonight we're going to see that the truth and the life is in Jesus. And today people are just, they're connected, whether they're be on their phones, Facebook, computer. But with all this connection, they're spiritually dead. And you know, we were spiritually dead as well in our trespasses, just like it was wrote to in Ephesians chapter 2, until we do what the Lord asked us to do. So how does Jesus bring us life? And what does that life kind of look like? That's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, you guys. So John 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. I'm sorry. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version this evening. So let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how we can know the way. That's when Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, Jesus' statement here, he was basically comforting his disciples. They were troubled. They knew he was going to go away, but they weren't really for sure. But you know, when Jesus said, you know the way, they knew the way. They knew the way through the truth that led to life. They knew the person actually. Tonight we're going to find out that our salvation is found in a person. It's found inside of Christ. So when Jesus said that, he was not only just saying, well, I'm part of this life or anything. He made an exclusive statement here. So how is that statement exclusive from any other thing that's vying for our attention today? Well, we're going to look at first, he's our only mediator. The life that we have with Christ, without Christ being our mediator, we would not have, there's absolutely no life apart from Christ. We cannot even have any communion, or God will not even hear our prayers if we're not in Christ. So tonight we're going to see how Jesus is our mediator. In if you want to, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible reads, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. You know, I want you to kind of think of today like a technology center in your business. You know, we have a firewall that keeps things from coming in and from things going out. It kind of monitors that. You know, Jesus kind of does that for us. If we didn't have Jesus, he stands between us and God. He's our mediator because we're sinful. Men are sinful. We've got to have a mediator that will stand in between us and God. We can't even approach God without this. I want you to turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, and I'll show you why. Because just like that firewall works, when we go to God's throne, we go through Him through a mediator. And you know, also the Spirit interprets when we don't know exactly what to say. But that Jesus purifies our prayers to God. He sanctifies them. And let me show you that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. The Bible reads, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter by the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." As I was saying, without Jesus, you know, we can't even approach God. Through Him, we have our access to the Father, as Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18 teaches us. "For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Without Jesus, we have no access to the Father. He is our mediator, the only source that we have through the Father. You know, like I said, there's no life with God outside of Christ. You know, if you don't have Christ, you don't have the life that you need with God. So you can't come to God unless you come to Him through Jesus and the way that He teaches us. So, I know the last week you talked about the source of truth, but tonight I want to look at it because, you know, Jesus, He says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life." So what does that mean? What does a life look like? And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about this evening. But first, you can't have life without truth. The only way to come to the life is through truth in Jesus. He's the way via the truth that leads to life. He's our source of truth, as Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 teaches us. If you want to turn over there, you can. I know I've got a lot of verses tonight, and I just bear with me. We're going to make some sense out of this, I promise. Just bear with me. Well, see, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He has made the world. You know, I kind of want you to imagine something now. I just kind of want to illustrate something. You know, in a company, a lot of times our tasks that we get assigned to us, they don't come directly from our boss. They kind of come through us through a mediator. And that was kind of what the prophets were. They kind of brought God's message to the people in part. But see, when Jesus came, He brought it directly to us. That's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. See, there's no more speculation. You know, sometimes today people, I run into people, they say, I would love to see a miracle performed. Or I would love to see some of the works that they've seen back in then. And then, you know, it would be awesome. But you know what I tell them? I said, you know, that back then when they'd done that was in part. They didn't know. They didn't have God's inspired mind that we have today. We have God's will. He loved us so much. Each and every single one of us. He loved us so much that through all the time, He had manifest His word to us. I mean, when you think about that, the plan of salvation He left for us and the way to mold our life. I mean, God absolutely loves us so much. And you know, when we think about that, it's easier to serve God when we know exactly how much He loves us. And I always make that in my mind too. But today, having the inspired word of God is better than any miracle or anything. You know, because that was just to confirm the word. We have the word confirmed today. You know, we're truly a blessed people, but if we're without Jesus, we're really dead. And tonight I want to try to prove that point. You know, John chapter 1, verse 17, says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Kind of think of this, if you're thirsting, you know, you're real thirsty and you're trying to look for a drink, and you know there's water close, and you run into somebody and say, "Well, there's a river down here, you know, go down there and get you a drink." That's great. But if that person leads you right to the source, that's even better. And that's exactly what Jesus does. And that's what he does. He leads us to a life. Because remember what Jesus said, "If you're thirsty, come after me, you'll never thirst again." The law pointed the people towards truth, but Jesus brought it to us directly. In John 7:37, he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." So, you know, therefore, Jesus is our wellspring of truth. The next thing I want to go to is Jesus as the source of life. And as I was talking to Brent today, I kind of had this lesson put together. And we were kind of talking, and I kind of, you know, I'm new at this. And I kind of, my mind's all over the place right now. Because there's a lot of things in this. But we're going to get to the meat of it tonight. The life that Jesus says he has. You know, it's such an exclusive claim. You know, the crux of the matter is this. I mean, there's two types of people in our world. Whether you're either in Christ or you're not. And that life that's inside of Christ, we need to mold it to be like Jesus. John chapter 1, turn over there with me, please. First, Jesus is our creator of life. We know that. He's the source of all life. All things were made through Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And I'm going to read one more verse for you, and then I'm going to talk about this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." The last part of that verse is such an amazing verse. You know, God and Jesus created us for him. So what's the life that we need to be living? What's it need to look like? Well, what are we created for? We're created to bring honor and glory to our Father. That's why we're created. For no other purpose than to bring honor and glory to Jesus. Also, I'm going to talk about something else here. In Genesis 1:26, you don't have to turn to this, but God said, "Let us make men in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You see, God gave us life here, and he also promises a life in the future. But how do we mold our lives to become like Jesus? You know, the wages of sin is death, as Romans 6:23 teaches us. But God offers us eternal life through Jesus. Purely by the grace that he offers us through Jesus. The first thing we need to understand about Jesus and his life is we need to understand the seriousness of sin. Romans 6:23 teaches us that it earns us death. But we must also, as Christians, embrace the beauty of grace. Because God does give life. And I feel like, and I know it does me, that this alone motivates me to reject sin and to walk in newness of life, as Romans teaches us. You know, not as others out there teaching. A lot of us sometimes earn salvation. We don't earn our salvation. It's a gift. It's a free gift, and that's from God. But we have to do what we have to do to accept that. But once we know how God has done such good things for us, it helps us to live more grateful and humble lives. Turn me over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. So Peter writes to us and tells us we're going to have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. And it does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I want you to imagine something with me, a child. He goes to a fair and he receives a balloon. Well, it's bright, it's floating, but the next morning, that balloon is popped. Well, what we were talking about earlier, how people live for the fleeting pleasures of life, other things. That's kind of how those pleasures are, that they pop. We can only live so long in those things, and then they pop. Excuse me. They pop. But then, now imagine, okay. As Christians, we often become entangled in those temporary pursuits, possessions and reputations. But Peter reminds us that our true treasure is eternal, untouched by time, sin, or decay. We must live with our eyes on the unfading inheritance. You know, Jesus teaches us that He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Romans teaches us how to receive it. Peter shows us in 1 Peter how to do that. Give me 1 second. Go over to 1 John, please. First John, chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. This is really where the life is of Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and has been seen, and bear witness, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested when we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And with these things, we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare it to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the first characteristic, if we're going to have a life with Jesus, we have got to walk in the light. That is the first thing that we've got to do. The second thing, we've got to love truth. The third thing is we've got to love each other. We've got to love our brothers. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, His life was manifested. You know, this right here, that the first thing it says that's talking about Jesus' life. It's not talking about Him. It's talking about the life that was manifested by Him. That the apostles, they laid their eyes upon this. This life unfolded in front of them. This life manifested in front of them. They heard this. They saw what Jesus done. They saw how Jesus was compassionate to people. They saw how to act. And that's why Jesus said, you do know the way. You know the truth. And I am the life. So why do we always today, you know, a lot of times we'll say, Jesus, or when we're praying, we'll say, Help us to mold our lives to become more like Jesus. How do we do that? Well, we do it, first of all, through His Word. And what He does is He leads, guides, and directs us. So without Jesus feeding us spiritually, if we take away Jesus as the source of our life, and this is the source, He's the Word, right? So if we take this away, how long do you think, and I'm asking a question, how long do you think, if you take the Word of God away from even a very faithful Christian, that they can maintain walking in the light? How long do you think that can be maintained without the Word of God in a person's life? Go ahead. Well, yeah, as long as you remember. That's right. I mean, we've got to, I've been encouraging some of the other people that I study with on, you know, at school and everything, to read every day, no matter what. If you have to get up earlier, if you have to, whatever you have to do, is spend time with God. Because if you don't know what God wants from you, how can you mold your life to look like what Jesus wants from you? You can't do that unless you are in here and getting the mind of God and the attributes of God and how Jesus treated people, how He loved people, how He showed compassion to people. And compassion is just seeing a need that needs to be met and eating that meat. You know, there's a lot of needs in our community that need to be met. And if we see those needs, I know what Jesus would do. I know He would go out and He would do what He could do. We see it all in all of Scripture. He teaches us by what He done to people and how we should be treating people. That's the life that we should be molding to make our lives, you know, to walk in the light. Another thing of walking in the light is always walking in the truth of Jesus. If we say we walk in the light and we don't, we don't even have fellowship with God. So if we don't have fellowship with God, we're not walking in the God. You know, we're not walking in that light. If we don't, here's a question for you. If we don't have fellowship with God, then who do we have fellowship with? Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, that's the thing about it. When you get out in the community, other communities and stuff, and you start talking to people, people kind of come up and say, well, I know sometimes what Eden says in here, but they just reject it. And you know, when He said, I'm the resurrection and life, over in John 11:35, when Jesus wept, He didn't weep because Lazarus was dead. He weeped because, you know, he turned to Him and says, you don't believe me. They didn't even believe Him. He had to perform that miracle to raise Lazarus from the dead. These people were right there in front of Him. I mean, that's going back to miracles. People say, well, if I see a miracle, I believe. Well, they did believe. I mean, they did see all these miracles happen and manifested right in front of their eyes, and they still, their hearts were so hard. I mean, it's just and we have that today. And no, we don't, not in the form of miracles or anything, but we have God's Word. I've talked to people before, and so I know what it says, but I think I'm good. Or I there's other ways and this and that. And I mean, we battle that a lot. All these different competing philosophies and all these other things out there that we battle with each and every single day, they're all vying for our attention. And we got to realize that there's no life outside of Christ. I mean, there's just absolutely no life. I mean, you may have physical life, but how long is that going to last until it wears out? But to get spiritual life that Jesus offers us, that life, you know, it's only found inside of Him. He actually, Jesus, when He came to this earth, He embodied truth. He was truth walking in the flesh. He personified it. And today, a lot of people, you know, remember when Jesus said, you search the Scriptures and you think eternal, and you take eternal life in them and salvation. It's not. It's in Jesus. It's in Christ. It's in a person. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and obedience to Him and to what He asks us to do. So walking in the light, it's walking in truth, and it's always doing the things that are pleasing to God. And sometimes us walking in the light, it's not an easy life to do. We have to be sometimes intentional to walk in the light, to go out and to do things, to maintain good works for things. But we know we have to continue to do things like that. Because if we don't, it's just not profitable to men. The second point I want to look at here is we got to love truth. I mean, if a person doesn't love truth and accept the truth, they can't have life, period. If we don't accept what Jesus teaches, and if we don't accept the life that He offers us, we're still spiritually dead. You know, people think they have life today. People think that they have, you know, they profess to be certain things that they're not. And the life that Jesus offers is an absolute. You know, the whole first John was written because it's an absolute. You know, He wrote this whole book to them so that they know they can continue to believe in the name of the Son of Jesus. You know, so they can continue to believe in the name of Jesus. That's why the whole book was written. But we got to love truth. There's been lots of deceivers, lots of antichrists go out. Yes, sir. Whitewash. That's right. Right. That's right. Yeah, you see it today. I mean, I don't really know. I've studied with some people before and show them what it says. I know what it says, but I don't care. And that's exactly the same thing. And I mean, we see that today. And I, you know, when Jesus cried, I mean, He knew they were rejected. In John 11:35, Jesus wept. I mean, because He knew that they didn't even believe Him. And I believe that when Jesus was in the garden crying, you know, it's because He knew people were going to reject Him still today. And I mean, I think until we can actually see personally ourselves the love of God, like the song we saw tonight, and actually know and actually comprehend for ourselves and actually come to that, and realize how much Jesus has done for us and how much He has done for us now and washed us and made us who we are and give us that life that leads to life in the eternity. You can't love truth because truth sets you free. We know that. And if you don't love truth, you can't be Jesus' disciple. I mean, we know that. He says, follow me. You know, a lot of people want to follow different things. They want to follow different doctrines. They want to follow different things. But we can have it easy. We just have to follow Jesus. And that's a beautiful thing about being a New Testament Christian, I call it, is just following Jesus and His will for us. And like I said, that going back to the inspired Word of God, I think in the first century, being a New Testament Christian would have been kind of scary. I think a lot of times that's why fear come up on them. It's because they don't know everything. They're kind of left with wondering. You know, they don't have the whole truth, and it's kind of they know in part. They didn't know everything, and kind of like I feel today. You know, even reading the Bible, I feel like it's still not. I don't have enough knowledge or sufficient. It's just I think that's why. And I know it's why Jesus said, "You come to me, you'll never drink. You know, you'll never thirst or be hungry," because there's so much here that we'll never come to the knowledge of knowing all of it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if we don't love truth, I mean, how can we can't obey truth if we don't love it. So I think that's a main thing. And then the last thing that you absolutely have to do, that Jesus taught us, and if we don't, you know, we've got to love each other. It's not optional. love is commanded. I mean, we have to love each other. As Jesus loved us, as God loved us, we absolutely have got to do that. If we don't do that, we don't have eternal life abiding in us. You know, if God says, He says, if you hate your brother, whom you've seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? I mean, when you sit there and think about that, and when you ponder on that, that's pretty thing hard to swallow, because I mean it's an absolute. So when we love each other, what does that look like? I mean, we're servants to one another. So really, if our life is going to be molded to manifest a life of Jesus as well, then we've got to be a servant. We've got to love each other, and we've got to serve each other. That's the best way, because that's who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, is the servant of all. And I think that's when we need to try to mold our lives like that. And, you know, Acts, even in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 28, I mean, we need to make our lives look like this. We move, and our being is in Jesus Christ. That everything we do and manifest is all about Jesus. We know that we have to die to ourselves. And we die to that old life anyway. And when we come to Jesus, we're looking for that new life. And a lot of times we come to Jesus looking for that new life, and we get that new life, and sometimes we want to revert back. You know, sometimes we want to revert back to that old life. But when we do that, we're obviously not walking in the light. So we are reverting back to that old life, because that new life has left us. So we've got to continue to walk in that light, love our brother, love each other, and just do the things that Jesus has asked us to do. I'm going to ask a question. How do we know, how can we test ourselves to know if we are, our lives are aligned with that life that Jesus wants for us? What's the test for that? Is there a test that you know off the top of your head that we can test ourselves with? Right. Yeah, we have it. We have it. That's why we can, you know, examine ourselves every day. It's a great thing. But like I said, if we take that away from our lives, the Word, we can't have life. That's why I just want to try to impose on everybody to be daily Bible readers. Because our life that we manifest in our community is the life that Jesus wants us to have. We need to try to mold our lives to be like Jesus. And if we do that, I mean, we'll have God's, you know, we'll definitely have His favor with us. We have His favor anyway, but if we don't walk in the light with Jesus, we know we don't have God. And how do I know that? Because 2 John verse 8 says, you know, you just don't walk in the light, you're not going to have God. So, what's that look like then? If you don't have Christ, you might have physical life, but where's the spiritual life? Well, you don't have spiritual life. So, the point is that without Christ, I mean, we're lost. I mean, Christ gives us our hope, He gives us the hope of eternal salvation. He gives us salvation, and he provides that life that even the people, and I know that's kind of, for me even, I think the disciples were right there. This manifest, they spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and He showed them how to live this life, but they still didn't get it. So another thing, we got to be patient with each other, and that's part of loving each other too. So when we're patient with each other and love each other, we can start molding each other to be like that. But outside, like I said, outside of Jesus, there is absolutely no life, and we've got to abide in Him as the true vine. And we need to walk in that newness of life each and every single day. Because without that newness of life that Jesus provides us, we absolutely have no hope for the future. You know, there's one truth, there's one way, and there's one life. And that's in Jesus. And we've got to just stay that course and remain faithful to that. I'd like to finish up with this here. I think that the life of Jesus, the life, that verse, just that part of the verse in John 14:6, I think if you want to look at this further, you can break it down into four things. Jesus possesses life. And you can go look at that later in John 5:26. Look at John 5:26. Jesus is the bringer of life. And you can read about that in John 10:10. Jesus is the revealer of life. And we can read about that in John 17:3. And then Jesus is the giver of life. And you read about that in John 10:28. I'll never have this many pages again, I promise. Promise you that. So, I just want us to remember that we've got to walk in the light, love truth, and love our brothers and sisters. If we do that, I think we can, you know, get on the right path to start living the life that Jesus wants us to live. And then studying how Jesus treated people. You know, the compassion He showed people, the kindness, the love. He was patient with people. We just need to be that way as well with other people. And then if we will let this word lead our lives and be faithful to what it says and let Jesus teach us, we can live that life and we can have life that leads to eternal life by being obedient to Jesus, by being obedient to the gospel, and then, you know, putting on newness of life. But I just urge us each and every single day to read the Word and to let the life that we find inside Jesus and the loving and the great teacher and the compassionate person He was, just to let us become more like that. And it takes time. You know, it's a constant grind and a struggle, but when you get down, just get back up. Don't ever quit. That is part of walking in the light as well. Don't ever quit. Don't say, well, I can't do this. It's too hard for me. It's not. Jesus said, my commandments are not, you know, they're not burdens. We can all do this, but how we do that is mold our lives around assembling and being with each other and encouraging one another each and every time we get together. And then being and serving one another. Just like Jesus did. You know, when he, before that in John 14, in chapter 13, you know, it's Jesus, he put a towel around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet. I mean, this is God, this is Jesus Christ, God washing his disciples' feet. And he told Peter, if you don't let me, you don't have no part with me. Humility that Jesus had, if we let that manifest in our lives as well, we can mold ourselves to become more like Jesus. We'll never be exactly like Jesus, but we can become more like Him. And then if we do the things He asks us to do and are faithful to Him, He will remain faithful to us because He always remains faithful, even if we are faithful. So I just want us to keep that in mind. So, but I appreciate your attention tonight. I'm sorry it was all over the place a little bit, but I'm a new preacher, and I'm trying to get away from an outline of pages and this and that, and it's just I'm in a transition period. So thank you for showing me the love of Jesus tonight and your compassion. And I love each and every single one of you with the love of Jesus. So let's go to God in prayer and close up. Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before your throne of grace. And Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed us this evening to gather here to study from your word, Father, to grow in your knowledge and in your grace. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the church. And thank you for thinking of us and establishing it. And dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that without Jesus, we are dead and we have no life. Father, we just know that we're so thankful for you, for your willingness to send him to this earth and for his willingness to come to die for us, Father, that we can't have that life, Father. We know that without him going to the cross, without his death and with his resurrection, Father, we have no hope, Father. But we know that through his resurrection and through the good news, Father, we have hope of eternal life with you in heaven. And Father, we look forward to that day. And Father, we know that there's a lot of things going on in our world, Father, a lot of different philosophies and things. Father, we just ask you to give us courage to stand with boldness, to speak your truth, and to lead people to that life that only Jesus offers. And dear Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for this day. And Father, we know that we fall short many times. But Father, we know you're faithful to forgive us. And Father, we thank you for that. And dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to be with us as each of us go to our individual places. Father, you'll watch over us and protect us, and you'll bring us back to the next appointed time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again. And it's in your Son Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen.